What is faith? His answer was, believing something you know isn't true. Believing something you know isn't true. Paul tells us in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And then he repeats that in Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith. And then the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. And then in the Old Testament, when it was first said, Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. Now I would say that it is extremely important for us as Christians to understand what faith really is when on four different occasions we have seen that that is the way we're to live. If I am to live by faith, then I better know what it is and have an understanding of what God's Word says. Therefore, our message today is simply, what is faith? What is biblical faith? What is it all about? Am I demonstrating faith? So that's what we want to look at, because faith is talked about a lot among Christians. You hardly ever get into a conversation with another Christian or a group of Christians without the word faith coming up. It's brought up quite a bit. And yet, often, it is not understood exactly what faith is. And people, every day, exercise faith. Not biblical faith, but every day, as we go through life, we exercise faith and don't even realize it. When's the last time you rode, and I thought of this when we were in the UK, they have lifts, they don't have elevators. When's the last time you got on the elevator? It was faith, by faith. I can't remember exactly where we're at. We got on one and the thing kind of clicked, jumped like that. And the girl looked at me and she said, oh no, hope this thing's on. We get on it, why? We just get on it and we're exercising faith and don't realize it. How about when you get in your car? You get in your car, crank it up, head on. You ain't think about it. You living by faith. How many times have you thought this? I try not to think this too much, but every once in a while in conversations it comes up. How many times have you thought about the food you get at restaurants? And you eat it by faith. Because you don't see the kitchen. You don't know what goes on in the kitchen. I remember somebody told me, I won't give you the name of the restaurant that worked at this restaurant, and they said, listen, there's nothing to see them drop a piece of meat on the floor, pick it up, and throw it back on the grill. And people eat there all the time. I was talking to one here about 2 or 3 years ago. We got a burger place in. It's not one of the main ones, but it's a burger place. She buys this burger. She takes it home. By faith, she's going to have a good meal and everything. She gets home, and she bites into it. She gets a wad of hair. Now, I'm not talking about one strand. Let me tell you, she put that one down right quick. Another couple I was talking to said they went somewhere and they wanted to place an order on the phone. They go, they pick it up. They got a quesadilla. And so they got home, they opened the box, and guess what? There had been 3 or 4 bites out of that quesadilla. Evidently, they got their order crossed up with somebody that had got a a box or something to take it. I don't know how it happened, but they said they got home. They just threw it away because they didn't want to go all the way across town again for that. But how often do we do that? How about the people? How about the doctor? You go in the doctor and you have faith in him that he's going to diagnose you properly. He's going to find out. How about a pharmacist? You ever thought about that? I go to Sam's. I like to get there. Let me tell you, I read that label carefully. Because there have been cross-ups in pharmacies, and they give somebody the wrong medication, or they increase the dosage, or sometimes they lessen the dosage. And some of these may not be as critical as others. But how often do we, just by faith, take that? How about last time you got on a plane? You know who's the pilot, you know? Like one man said, somebody said, well, this won't be your time to die. He said, I ain't worried about my time to die. If it's the pilot's time to die, that's what I'm worried about. We don't know. How about children trusting parents? They're all faith in parents. Are the parents going to take care of them? Nothing's going to happen. How about the law enforcement? I mean, go on and on. We put our faith every day. In other words, what I'm saying is this. You don't get in your car. You don't stop and do an analysis. You don't start checking off everything, you know. When you get on the elevator, you don't stop and say, okay, look at that sign. What's the capacity on this? And what is this? And what is this? You don't do that. We just get on. We just get on. When you go to the restaurant, you don't say, I need to have a tour of the kitchen. You don't go back in the kitchen. I need to see the kitchen for ordering thing. Now, you might look up there and see a rating of about 82, you might decide, that's kind of on the borderline. You know, we don't do that, but it's by faith. How do you know? What's it? How do you know that you're not getting some disease from an egg? You go in and eat the egg, next thing you know, you're sick. I mean, you can go on and on and on, you know. We don't stop and ask, but it's faith, but it's not blind faith. What are we acting upon? When we do something like that. As humans, we're acting upon our expectations. We expect the doctor to be right. We expect the pharmacist to be right. We expect that car to take me where I wanted to go. I expect that elevator to take me up. I expect that food to be prepared good. That's our expectations. So, it's not blind faith. Well, how often is it that individuals use the word faith when they are speaking of a belief that they have in something that has not even been proven to be right? They just believe it. They just believe it. Well, are these what the Bible means when it speaks of faith? No, absolutely not. The faith that the Bible speaks of is of a higher level. It is of a higher degree than any of those. Now, we're going to look at what faith really is, and we ask ourselves, am I living by faith? Am I living by faith as I should live by faith? Now we know that faith is not. Three things that faith is not. Faith is not hope. It's not hope. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, there's faith, love, and hope. You got faith and hope in the same verse, but they're separate. They're not the same thing. So faith is not a wishful hope, hope and so type deal. That's not faith. Biblical faith is not a hope and so. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. You know, I've heard people say this. I don't care what the Bible says, I feel it's right. I don't care what the Bible says, I feel I'm doing right. That's where you get into experiences. And they let that trump the Bible. They let their feelings do that. You know, Romans 14 and verse 23 says, "And he that doubteth, not fully assured, is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, when I read that and I think about feelings, I can't be that. How are you going to base faith on feelings? Because feelings change. Feelings are kind of like that. We used to do, "He loves me, he loves me not." "He loves me, he loves me not." Or, "She loves me, she loves me not." Mine always ended up, "She loves me not." But that's the way we look at faith sometimes, you know? I feel like it. We don't know. Well, Paul said you better be careful there. Nothing wavering, no doubts. But our feelings change. So if it's based on my feelings, my faith changes every day. Every day. Well, it's not a feeling. It's not a leap in the dark. We don't just leap in the dark. Because biblical faith is, faith is based on facts. Now that's where you get into the argument, is it faith or reason? Is it faith or reason? Is it based on rationale or emotions? You know. Well, again, there's an area of danger there. An area of danger. So Hebrews chapter 11, this is the only verse we're going to look at. Hebrews 11, 1. I mean, that's the base verse. That's the kickoff verse. Okay? Hebrews 11, 1 gives us not so much a definition of faith. It describes it. It describes it. And then, of course, you know the rest of the chapters, the hall of faith and these that acted by faith. But here's a description of faith. So let's read it again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now remember who he is writing to, the author here. Most believe it's Paul, could be Apollos. I'm just going to say the author. Who is he writing to? He's writing to these Hebrew believers that were facing some difficult situations. And he was wanting these Christians, he was trying to give them all the encouragement he could for them to continue on, to keep on going in their Christian life. Notice the last verse of chapter 10. "But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." He says we are the true Christians. The false Christian would draw back. So he ends chapter 10 with that last verse. And he is giving them a warning, really. If you are one who has been saved, there won't be a drawing back. And so it's kind of a red flag that he says, you better think about this. And then as he has said that, he begins now, chapter 11, with a description of what faith is. And it's almost like a kind of a parenthetical situation here. But he wants them to understand how faith operates. And so he's going to describe that to them. And so he gives them this description of faith. There are three words that are vital to understand. Faith. These in the King James, you might have in your American Standard, you may have another. Faith, substance, and evidence. There are two phrases that we must understand. The first one is things hoped for, and then things not seen. So that's the verse. That's the breakdown. But in that verse, it is crucial that we understand what the author of Hebrews is telling us. Now, the Greek word, let's start with faith. The Greek word for faith, pistis, just simply means trust or belief. Could be, you could use acceptance or assurance, but it is basically trust or belief. That's it. That is the meaning of the word faith here. Then you have the word substance. That is a Greek word, hypostasis. And it means to stand under, to support. So here we have faith, which is belief and trust. And then we have substance, which is support or stand under. And so we take those two words and we see that faith is the support or the foundation. Now here's the key. It is the support or the foundation that convinces the heart. This is inward. It convinces the heart of believers of things hoped for. Okay? Now hang on to that. Faith is the support. It is the foundation that convinces the heart of those things that he says is hopeful. But then we also have the word evidence. And the word evidence in the Greek means conviction or proof. So he says the conviction or proof of things not seen. So we have faith is described as a support, a foundation that convinces the heart in the believer of things hoped for. It is also the conviction and proof of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. So there's the two, that's the two descriptions that he gives of faith. That's how he describes it. That conviction, again, is an inward conviction. It is an inward conviction that gives the believer the power that empowers the believer to believe the things not seen. That's what it is. It empowers, it enables the believer to believe these things that are not seen. Illustration. God gives us that. Of course, through the Holy Spirit. Because this is the believer, hasn't it? One evening, as the husband and wife are sitting watching television or reading or whatever, and the wife says to her husband, please go check on the children for me. He said, sure. He goes into the bedroom where the children are at. Child number one is fast asleep. I'll use number one, number two. Child number two, sound asleep. Ah, but we got a problem with child number three. Child number three is his son, 5-year-old son. He's sitting on the edge of his bed, and he's worried. And the father says, son, what's your problem that you can't sleep? You need to get some rest. Why are you worried? And he says, well, Dad, all the boys, my friends in the neighborhood, got bicycles for their birthday. And I don't know if I'm going to get a bicycle or not. And the loving father sits him down and says, son, you will get a bicycle for your birthday. And that young man, he lies down. The father says, lie down and rest. He lies down and goes to sleep. Because he has just received a promise from his loving father that he's going to get that bicycle, even though he has not yet seen it. But he has trusted his loving father because he gave him a promise. So he lies down and he rests. That's what we're talking about. So what are the two phrases? Things hoped for, things not seen, the promises of God in his word. The promises of God in his word. That young boy, he's got a hope now that's a sure, lively, active hope that he's going to get a bicycle because his loving father said, promised him. He is sure he's going to get that bicycle yet. His birthday hadn't seen it yet, but he knows he is. So he can rest. He don't worry anymore. He lies down, knowing everything is okay when it comes to that bicycle. No problem. Let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark, chapter 4. Biblical faith. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. Mark 4:35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, now notice this, let us pass over unto the other side. He didn't say, let us try to pass over. He didn't say, let us see if we can pass over. He said flat out, let us pass over to the other side. No questions asked. When they had sent him away, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. There arose this great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They woke him up and said unto him, Master, do you care that we perish? Are you not concerned? He rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? I said we would pass over. It won't anything about a mite passing over or trying to pass over. I said we will pass over. How is it that you have no faith? Believe me when I tell you, we're going to pass over. Well, they were not exhibiting biblical faith. They were not exhibiting what real biblical faith was. Biblical faith is a reliance upon his being trustworthy. It is based on his being faithful. It is based on God's word. It is based on the promises that God has given to us in his word. Now, where does that all begin? Well, it has to begin with what chapter 12 of Hebrews says, verse 2. Here's where it really begins now. It has to begin here before you can have biblical faith. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher or completer of our faith. And then he says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. That's where it starts with. That's where this faith has to start. With Jesus Christ. That word, the author, does not appear anywhere else in the New Testament. That is the only place that word appears. But he's also not only the beginning, the author, the source, but he is the completer. So this biblical faith has to find its source in a person, in Jesus Christ. It begins with him. It is not in religion. It is not in our self. It is not in our works. It is not in baptism, church membership. You might as well throw it out the door. It starts with a person, the person of Jesus Christ. If we're going to have, now, even though a person is sincere about their religion and their works and all that, doesn't matter. Starts with a person. Now let's go to Romans chapter 10. This morning we were looking at Romans 11. Let's look at Romans 10. Now remember 10, he's really speaking here to the, talking about the Jewish Christians and the Jews as individuals. But let's look at what he says. Chapter 10, verse 8. Chapter 10, verse 8 of Romans. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now look at verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What have they got to hear? They got to hear the gospel message. So they come to Christ through the gospel message. And that comes from hearing the word. That comes from hearing the word. It's not that you just all of a sudden get struck by lightning. It comes through the word. That's what Paul is telling us here. So biblical faith will never ever exist apart from the word of God. It doesn't matter if it's saving faith or practical, personal, everyday faith. It will not exist apart from the word of God. That's why I call it the word of faith. Okay? That's where it's got to start. First of all, you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's what he tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved through faith. Then we know in Romans and Ephesians, we just looked at Romans here and read that section. These two are talking about saving faith. When you are first saved, you hear the word and then you commit to Christ through faith. In what you've heard. You've heard it, now you commit yourself in faith to that. But there are two other uses of the word faith in the New Testament. Turn with me to Jude. Little book of Jude, right before Revelation. Notice what he says in verse 3 of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. That means the entire body of doctrinal truth. The doctrinal truth, the entire body of the teaching of Scripture. The entire body of doctrinal truth about God, about me, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, all that. That's the faith that he's talking about there. But then there's another faith. You got salvation faith. You got the faith. Then you got the practical, personal, everyday faith that you live by. That's Hebrews 11:1. Now let's go back to Hebrews 11:1. That faith has to grow. We begin to grow in that faith as we have come to Christ. And then as we have the Holy Spirit, now all of a sudden we are living by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so we live every day by faith. Turn back to Jude again. I meant to stay there. Jude chapter 20. Notice what he says in chapter 20. Jude says to his audience, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves." Notice that. Building up. That means you're growing. "Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Or Paul, remember, Paul was really excited about this church here at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth, not stagnant, not saved and I'm done. Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other." So he's talking about their faith is growing. Their love for one another is growing. Now let's look at some degrees of faith. Because all of us don't have the same degree of faith. Now we ought to be progressing. We ought to be growing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 1. "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation." Now remember, he was talking here about eating meat offered to idols. And some had a weak faith because they had associated with that meat in the past and all, and it was hard for them to do it. And Paul says, receive that one that's weak in the faith. So you've got brothers and sisters that are weak in the faith. They are weak in the faith. So we have that. Go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Remember, we just looked at the storm. We look at Matthew's account now. When the storm came, it says in verse 26, "He saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Got weak faith, you got little faith. Now go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Notice what he says in verse 20. All right, let's start in verse 19. 4:19, Romans. "And being not weak in faith," not weak, "he considered not his own body now dead." Well, in other words, he's passed, been able to have children, talking about Abraham. "When he was 100 years old, neither yet deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith." Strong in faith. giving glory to God and being fully persuaded, nothing doubting, not doubtful things, as we saw in Romans 14, 13, nothing. He was able and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was also able to do it. So there you have the three faith. You have the weak faith, you have little faith, and you have strong faith. You have all three of those. Now, in Romans, Paul said, we used this at the beginning, Romans 1:17, when Paul talked about the just shall live by faith. But he had something else to say there. In verse 17, Romans 1, he said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And is it written, the just shall live by faith. So he's telling us here, faith to faith is a progression. It is a progress from one level to another that he's talking about. From one degree to another degree. So faith must grow from weak to being strong. From being a weak faith to being a strong faith. As, and what Paul is saying, as our faith increases, we have and we receive more of an understanding of God's righteousness, and we live more and more by our faith in who he is and what he can do. We live more and more as our faith grows. We put more and more in him and who he is. Now, remember what the disciples said one day? They asked the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Help it to grow, that I can live by faith. I can live a life by faith. And it starts with what? Well, Jesus Christ for salvation, but the Word of God. It all begins there. It is what God says in his Word. What his promises are to us as his children. To us, it starts there. And so when we start there and base our faith on the truths of God's Word, then we will trust, notice this, we will trust in advance that which has not yet happened. Just like 11:1 is telling us. We trust in advance that which we have not seen yet. That which we have not experienced. We trust that in advance. And that's what he is telling us over in, as he describes faith in verse 1. Someone said this. They said, faith is trusting in advance that which only makes sense in reverse. Now think about that. We trust in advance that which only makes sense in reverse. Well, let's go back and let's go reverse. So where do we start? We start with the Word of God. God's Word makes sense. God's Word is factual. It's not feelings. It's not a hope so. It is absolute truth. God has said it. That's reversed. So we start there. It's based on God's truth in his Word. And that leads us to what? It should. We believe his Word because God said it. Now we exhibit faith in advance. Knowing what? God's going to bring it about. Just like that little boy. He said, I can lie down and rest. Because I'm going to get a bite for Christmas. Now here's the danger. Now this is where we get into the danger, okay? I want you to turn to James chapter 1. And this is in closing. So y'all can breathe now. We got to be careful. We have to be careful at this point. Because here's the difference. between true faith and having faith and not having faith. This is where it is. Faith is not an intellectual agreement. When God says something, you can agree with him intellectually, but you still ain't practiced faith. Notice what James says in chapter 1, verse 2. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Can you deceive yourself in thinking you have faith and you really don't? You know, I ask people a lot of times about when they're in a situation, they'll say, well, I'm trusting the Lord and I like to follow that. Are you really, really trusting the Lord? Because we can say it and we can use faith. We may not even be exercising biblical faith. And that can be, as James said, that can be where we fall short. So we ask ourselves this question. Am I really trusting God? Do I really have faith? Do I really have faith? Now, this illustration I read somewhere, I can't remember where. I've used it several times. I don't know if I've used it several times, but anyway. I thought it was pretty good. I used a chair sometime, but I'll use this one. You go to Niagara Falls, and you see this tightrope walker. And he walks across that thing, man, with the greatest of ease, all the way across. And then he takes somebody and puts them on his shoulders. He walks across with them. He takes another person, puts him on his shoulders, he walks across that tightrope with him. He does about four or five of them, and you are looking at that, and you know what? You believe it. Somebody asked you about it, you say, yeah, I saw it with my own eyes. I agree that he can do it intellectually. But then he turns to you, and he says to you, would you volunteer and let me carry you across? And you say, no way. Well, then you're not exercising faith. You have intellectually seen it with your own eyes. You believe you can do it. I read God's word and I say God says that. You know what? I intellectually agree with that. I believe it because God said it. But that don't mean a hill of beans when I'm trying to practice faith. You know when you practice faith in that tightrope walker? It's when he asked you to trust him and you hop on his shoulders and you go. Christ says to us, hop on my shoulders. Get on my shoulders. Trust me. Have faith in me. Don't just believe I can. Show me that you trust me. Get on my shoulders and let me carry you. That's where we many times stop. That's where we just draw the line. Some reason we draw the line right there, don't we? We just bring it to a halt and that's it. Believe what I say, he says. Believe in what I can do. So biblical faith involves two things. Intellectual, that's facts. And trusting. That is acting on those facts. And that's why he said again in Romans about what Abraham did. He staggered not. God said, don't stagger. Hop on my shoulders. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. Fully persuaded that what God promised, he would perform it. That's what the author of Hebrews wanted those Christians to understand. Even through the times of difficulty, even through the times of persecution, even through all that you're going through, faith. have faith in God. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed.